Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Let me give you some training camp news and notes just to bring you up to speed. If you're just tuning in, thank you, first of all. Today out at training camp, Garrett Bowles was back. It was described as a stinger. My man Benjamin Albright is reporting that instead of getting hit on the chin, he actually got hit in the sternum and then the back of the head, which made him nauseous, which may explain that he didn't really have a concussion. It was really something else. Okay, fine. Didn't hear that, but I trust Ben, so very good. He was back there, and he was full go for the entire practice, so not a concussion. Derek Wolfe suffered a stinger, was really upset about it when it happened. Happened kind of early on when they earned full pass today and they were going, you know, full team drills, and something happened. He was very upset. He was very animated off to the side and had to be calmed down by Ron Leary. He went into the locker room inside the building, but returned later and practiced the rest of the practice. So he wasn't really off the field all that much, but you could tell something was bugging him. No Jeff Heirman today, Alfred. Tremaine Brock will be out for about a week with a mild, medium hamstring pull. Meanwhile, that's keeping Josie Jewell out of action. Kenny Bell missed his fourth consecutive camp practice. Sweet Philly Brown, who bumped his head on a weight bar, has not returned at all. I mean, that is shaping up to be kind of a serious deal for him, unfortunately. Stars from today: Tim Patrick, number 81, a star from today. Cortland Sutton, a superstar from today. Emmanuel Sanders, another great day. Philip Lindsay is just killing it and being placed with the first team and the second team. And we're not seeing, I think it's fair to say, we may be seeing the end of Andy Janovich, because it's really not apparent where he fits in with all the other talent that's out there, Alfred. I hope I didn't miss anything. I'm trying to just look at some of my notes here. Brandon Marshall participated in drills but did not participate in team action. So it's not overly serious, but it's enough that they want to be cautious with it. And Paxton Lynch was mediocre. They did do a two-minute drill. First time you're really moving the ball down the field. Pressure situation, down by five. Case Keenum connected as time expired with Cortland Sutton in the back end of the end zone, although there's some debate whether he was in bounds or not. But, you know, as it stood, it looked pretty impressive. And meanwhile, Paxton Lynch in that same drill came up short, not even close to the goal line on a fourth down play. The ball just goes askew, and basically they lose.
Throw the swing route.
Chad Kelly, yeah, didn't really give anybody
a chance.
28
yards out.
Right. With plenty of time left on the clock, by the way. I mean, he just couldn't move the ball. Chad Kelly did not get an opportunity to participate in that form of practice. Not sure why, but that's the case. Somebody asked me, how does Marquette King look? He kicks the ball high, and he's a good punter. So there's
that. The king is here.
The king is here. In terms of a punter, he looks just fine. So those are
he's wearing number one.
He is, yes. Those are the basic observations. What were your perspective on today?
The king is here.
Thank you, Marquette. Appreciate that.
Well, I have one observation that's probably different than everybody else's at training camp. Billy Turner is the best tackle we have on this team. Whether we're talking about left tackle, right tackle, or wherever you want to put him. The guy is patient. He's got great hands. He's got great technique. And he is solid. Now, I don't know where they're going to play him. If he doesn't play at the tackle position to start the year, look for him to be our right guard, because I don't think Connor McGovern is the truth right there. I can't see the Broncos going out there and playing Connor McGovern as their starting right guard.
Well, right now, McGovern's mixing it up with Max Garcia at some points. Garcia, Leary, Turner, Valdir, they're all sort of mix and matching. When you say that, are you writing off Max Garcia?
I'm saying Ron Leary is our left guard.
There's no doubt about that.
No doubt about that.
Bowles is our left tackle.
Bowles is our left tackle, maybe.
Not maybe. There's no doubt about that.
Well, you have Valdir, who was a Pro Bowl player and left tackle on your team.
Unless Bowles is hurt, and that could happen at any moment,
maybe
everybody.
Maybe just move Bowles to right tackle.
Maybe, okay, listen. I'm fine if you want to go in that direction. You just know that's not happening. I mean, if you want to just sort of speculate what would be cool, fine. But that's literally not what's going on.
You know, let me tell you something. What I don't understand is when you have a great player, why you don't play your damn great player?
All right, fair enough.
Valdir is the best left tackle we have on this team, but you're playing him at right tackle because you have a rookie first rounder at left tackle. Now, if this was quarterback, you know what? It sticks out like a sore thumb, and you say, that guy is not good enough.
So that's making you frustrated.
No, I'm just telling you the way it is. But if we said, you know what, play Paxton Lynch, you say, oh, he can't play. Well, look, if I'm telling you that Valdir is our best left tackle on the team, it's no different than saying that Case Keenum is our best quarterback. So I'm just letting you know that if push came to shove and you just had to make the team better, then, you know, I think that right now it's clear to me that Billy Turner is clearly the best tackle on this team.
So you'd put Turner at right tackle, Valdir at left tackle, and make Bowles a swing tackle.
Make him a guard if you want to.
Okay.
Now, you laugh about it, but
I'm only laughing because it's just so far away from reality.
Okay,
that it's
well,
just
that's
not
fine. That's fine. I'm just telling you because I'm looking at guys that can really play. I'm looking at guys who can really play and have earned the right to be on the field. Now, I know that many people may think that I'm not a fan of Garrett Bowles. It's not the truth. But what I am a fan of is great players having a chance to display their greatness. Now, I don't understand why Connor McGovern is playing in there at right guard. I don't understand how he got the nod to be the starter. Clearly, Billy Turner is better than him at right guard.
I don't think McGovern is locked in there.
Well,
I think he's...
Well, I don't even know why you would even start that when you have Billy Turner that is able to step in. I mean, Billy Turner is
but they haven't
probably
been
would
working
have been a
Turner
huge
starter. They've been working him at tackle.
But I know. But remember last year, before he had the concussion, he was going to be our right guard. Maybe move Leary to left guard. But you know what? That was another offensive line coach that tried to get the best out of Max Garcia not being able to play right guard. So you put Leary at right guard, even though he's your best left guard, you put him at right guard. Stupid. And I almost cursed. That's stupid. That's stupid to do something like that. If you have a Pro Bowl caliber player and you have him on your team, play him where he is a Pro Bowl caliber player. You have a right guard. If you have a right guard who is a Pro Bowl left guard, why in the world wouldn't you just play him at left guard? Make the guy that can't play the right guard, make that position a position of emphasis in the offseason. Leave Leary alone at left guard and find you a right guard. And right now, that right guard position is an issue because it's also our power run side. And I'm telling you right now, it's not pretty. So you got to find a way to put Billy Turner into the game. And I would put him at tackle. I'll put him at guard. But one place that you have to put him is in the starting lineup for the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
Period.
All right.
So that's my take from offensive line, defensive line. I think the defensive line, once again, has shown that it is a powerful group. It is a disruptive group. It's a team full of playmakers on the defensive line, and I'm so proud of that unit. That's going to be a great unit for the Denver Broncos. The linebacker unit is over the top. I think that they have hit the jackpot as far as finding playmakers for the linebackers. We're going to have issues at corner. We're going to have issues at corner because we don't have three corners that can play. Not right now. We are trying to find the third corner that can play. And I don't know how we're going to go about that, but, you know, the young guys are going to have to step up and make some plays. And
here's Bradley Roby talking about it.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Just Like I said, I've been watching film more in the offseason. So now football is always on my mind. So when I see them in real life, in person, you know, I'm starting to dissect it faster than I would normally have. So just that dedication and commitment and keeping my mind on it is what's helping me.
How's Roby doing?
Roby's a dime. He is a 10. He's a 10. Chris Harris is a 10. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what we're doing with the third corner.
Have you paid attention to yet? Well, I mean,
Yadam.
Yeah, I mean, third corner. Tremaine Brock is out. He's going to be out for about a week.
Right.
So then you don't know.
Brandon Langley. We know that he's learning to play the cornerback position. He's a guy who was a converted wide receiver, so he's learning. He's still learning that position. He's a rangy guy, third round draft pick from last year. But look, man, I'm just telling you, it's training camp. Like this is we keep telling you these wide receivers are off the chain because our defensive backs can't touch them.
Here's Yadam about his camp.
I mean, it's going well. Like OTAs helped me a lot. I'm getting pretty comfortable with the playbook, so I'm just trying to make plays now. I mean, I just got to keep day in and day out studying with my coaches, studying with guys like Chris and Roby, just learning from them and just getting better at what I do. Yeah, I'm just, like I said, I'm just trying to get in my playbook, just know what I got to do so I can go out there and execute fast.
Okay.
Yeah, we talking about guys learning where to line up and the play, not who they're playing against. You know, like when you're a pro athlete, you know who you're playing against. You're not worried about the play call. He's not there yet. I'm just hopefully he'll be there by the end of training camp and we can see what's going on. You know, Langley is ultra talented, ultra talented. We'll see how he develops. But if you said the game was today, I'm telling you right now, whoever my third wide receiver is will get a lot of work against the Denver Broncos.
We saw today where Sutton catches a touchdown pass, and, you know, that's four wide receivers on the field at the same time. You know, other teams have guys like that, too. You could see where the Broncos get picked on a little bit, right?
Ball's going to have to come out quick, though, because the D-line is going to be, I mean, MASH. That's the MASH unit. That unit's going to be off the chain. That D-line, front four, pass rushing unit is going to be off the chain. Look, man, we have these little tweaks that we have to do. Now, I'm telling you now, you could probably tell that I'm a little upset that Connor McGovern is at right guard as our starter, and something's just not right there. It just feels like you're doing a favor for somebody. You know what I mean? Something's not right. Something's not right.
Doing
there.
A favor for somebody.
I'm just letting you know it's not right.
By
it's
the
not
way,
right.
McGovern,
it's not the way it's supposed to look at right guard, and we got a guy like Billy Turner that's sitting on the rotation for both left and right tackle, and certainly he can do it. But I mean, he should be, in a pinch, you know, he can go play tackle, but he solidifies your whole offensive line. Like he makes your offensive line, it goes from being good to great.
McGovern did take a couple first team snaps at center as well. Yeah, he's your backup center. So there's another function there for McGovern. I get you. You're not high on it. There's 15 offensive linemen. There's a lot of dudes out there, that's for sure.
And they're all big, too.
All right, secondary in terms of the safeties. So Sua Cravens, Justin Simmons, Will Parks.
They love Will Parks, by the way.
Those guys.
They love Will Parks.
Darian Stewart.
He's going to be in the mix. You know what I did see today was a little different. We saw a stack linebacker out of Shane Ray. Shane Ray, who is our first rounder from 2015, outside linebacker, was in the stack linebacker position today. And that was a little different because you had Bradley Chubb on the field, Von Miller on the field, and you had Shane Ray on the field, but he was playing linebacker. And that was good. I mean, almost like a Cornelius Bennett type of guy. But there's some things that he's got to recognize, but his quickness and his intensity and his speed, I think that's going to work out good for us. Because if you ask me who is a liability in the passing game, it's Todd Davis. Well, if you have a more athletic guy there in Shane Ray, you can see them getting more usage out of that. So we'll see how that all works out with Shane Ray. But, I mean, the defense in general, I had to pull over Joe Woods, our defensive coordinator today. I had to pull him over because I am telling you right now, whatever the defense was last year, that's not it this year. This defense right now is showing more than the defense of Wade Phillips. What Wade left out was a solid man-to-man defense that had very few signs of blitzes and a lot of five-man pressures. Like Wade would say, we're going to bring five, and we're going to show you the five that we're going to bring. Now we are back to more of that, hey, man, you know, the guy in the slot might be coming. We got a safety that may be coming. We have corners that could be fire dogging. I mean, we are coming from all – I mean, and it's confusing. It's confusing the offense and causing guys to take sacks in those meaningful periods when they're moving the ball. And all of those things, to me, I think are great because those are the type of defenses that I like. When you just don't – you just can't put your finger on who's coming and when, because we don't have the third corner. If we had a third corner, then you can line up and say, these are the five guys that are coming, but you have to stop them.
Let's go to Jared. Yeah, you're on the fan, Jared.
Hey, so just quick, talking about this third corner situation. I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you think about, you know, there's some decent players out there that are still veterans that would maybe come in on a prove it type of deal. Guys like Kenny Vaccaro that used to play for the Saints. He played at the University of Texas, ran some nickel packages, has been in coverage before. You know, maybe what about thought of bringing in a guy like that and transitioning, you know, maybe a safety that can play corner as well and doing a little bit by committee if we don't have that true person that can actually, you know, run that position. But you can bring in guys with experience who are run stoppers, bring in guys who can play in the nickel package.
We don't need those guys. We don't need a guy like Vaccaro who is primarily a safety. We don't need that kind of guy. We got that covered. We're good there. What we need is a guy that can line up and just say, okay, if Chris Harris is truly going to go against everybody, every team's number one receiver, that means that he's no longer in the slot. That means the guy in the slot has to be a Chris Harris type of guy. That's something totally different, man. I mean, you know, that's something totally different. I mean, Chris has never been he's never been like the number one corner, because everybody that we've had around here, he was a number two corner. We had Champ Bailey here. We had Dominique Rogers Cromartie, right?
Yeah.
DRC.
Right.
And then we had Aqib. So Chris has never been the number one corner. He's always been the number two corner. But he played the most difficult position because he played against a guy in the slot. And that guy in the slot has the whole field. So if Chris goes to outside corner number one and you have Roby opposite him on the number two receiver,
mm-hmm.
that slot receiver, we got a hole there. That's a big hole. I mean, that was Chris Harris's, you know, bread and butter for all the years he's been in the NFL. He's been so good. He's been great. So somebody's got to step it up here real quick.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, how do the tight ends look?
Great. Don't worry. No worries. No okay. worries.
Jeff Hyman wasn't even out there today.
I don't know if that matters.
Wow.
I'm you know, the guy that...
Was he a vet cut?
I don't know. But I tell you this, Austin Traylor will play, and he will play a lot.
So it'll be Jake Butt, Austin Traylor, and Fumagalli for sure.
Yeah, those are the three.
The question is, what do you do with that fourth guy if you do anything with them?
And you know, Hyerman could come in, but the on-the-ball tight end, the beast, the muscle, is this kid Austin Traylor. And you guys remember him from last year at the end of the year getting valuable minutes and creating a new line of scrimmage for our running backs. This guy is a real deal.
There is a guy, Matt Lacoste, from it's his fourth year in the league. He's 6'6", 260 pounds, number 83.
I haven't seen much of him.
He's a big guy, too. It'll be interesting to see what the Broncos do with certain guys in terms of how much bigger they want to get.
Oh, Traylor, man. Hey, I mean, he's a beast.
So,
I know there's a lot of hype
first of all,
Courtland
Sutton looks like a tight end.
This Tim Patrick guy looks like a tight end.
Yeah, but I mean, looking like a tight end and being a tight end is something totally different. You need a muscle, man. You need a muscle. You need the muscle.
Philip Lindsay's looked very good. And but spent a lot of time doing punt return.
But see, Philip
Lindsay.
It may
just boil down to, are you really convinced Isaiah McKenzie is really that special?
Right. Let's talk about this tight end position like they were running backs. You don't want Philip Lindsay on goal line, do you? That's not the kind of running back that you would.
Probably not.
All right. Okay.
What down is it and where am I?
Right, exactly. That's what you need to know, right?
It sort of depends.
That's what you need to know, right?
Yeah. I'm not against it, but I know what you're saying.
Listen, the guy is a great player. I saw him play 4 years at the University of Colorado. I know he can go.
Third down and two,
but
we're
in
at the goal
NFL,
line.
You're probably looking for a bigger body, right?
And that's why I like David Williams.
At tight end, it's the same way.
Well, you got that
it's
guy with Austin Trailer.
And Trailer is. Like if you're ready to go two tight end packages, it's not Fumagalli and Buck. Okay,
they were lining Trailer up as that H back, motioned him out. He was sort of filling that role.
Right. And so I'm now starting to feel like this team is Jake Butt is going to have. I think Jake Butt is going to have 40 balls this year. He's going to have
makes sense.
He's going to have somewhere around 40 catches this year.
He's not. I was looking at him today. He's not tall, but he's not thick.
That's what I was telling you yesterday when you told me that. I was like, man, he's not a big guy.
He's a tall guy, but he's not thick.
He doesn't feel like he's huge. He's not a huge.
Too funny.
I love big butts.
Life size is relative to you.
But I love the fact that he'll compete in the run game.
He's listed at 6'6".
Austin Trailer finishes the game. He finished it. If we are in a 4-minute offense, that's who you got on the field.
Is DeMarcus Ware out there coaching? Not only is Ware not out there coaching, he's spent this whole week with the Dallas Cowboys.
By the way,
I don't know what's going on there.
By the way, let me say first, told you so. It's an issue.
You didn't hire him.
It's an issue.
You didn't hire a pass rush coach.
He didn't want to be hired here. They wanted to hire him.
He wants to be with the Cowboys.
I don't even know if it's that.
He lives in Texas.
I'll tell you this.
He wants to be down there.
It was an issue, and it's going to continue to be. Who is the outside linebackers coach?
We don't have one.
Got to have somebody who's coaching. Who's coaching Bradley
Bill Tubb? Kolar and Reggie Herring are kind of splitting everything up.
Is it Kolar that's coaching?
You talked to Kolar today. You tell me.
I didn't ask him about who he's coaching. I just talked about this defensive line.
Who is the outside linebackers
coach?
There isn't one, but Kolar and Herring are in charge of the linebackers.
No, there's a third guy.
I'm looking here. Kolar, defensive line. We have two offensive line coaches.
We can dig into that tomorrow.
I don't know. Reggie Herring is linebackers. It's Reggie Herring and Bill Kolar.
No, it's not.
I'm telling you, man.
Not for the outside linebackers.
Reggie Herring is the linebackers coach. It's him.
He's the linebackers coach, but who's the outside linebackers coach?
They don't have one.
They got somebody pretending to be the outside linebackers coach.
Oh, you just saw somebody out there yelling at people?
Not yelling.
I mean, they got assistants and stuff.
Who?
Oh, boy.
It's an issue. Let's just say you got all your draft capital, all your money tied up in the outside linebackers.
They don't list, and
you don't have an outside linebackers coach.
They don't list. Yeah, they fired Pug. They didn't hire Chad Brown. They didn't hire DeMarcus Ware. They used Ware as a consultant. Now he's consulting with the Cowboys. They don't have one.
It's a problem. And we said it was a problem in the spring.
You know who the real outside linebackers coach is?
Who? Von Miller?
That's right. Players do coach each other. You saw Petco today coaching up a young guy right in front of us. You know, talking about hand placement, that sort of thing. It's an issue.
It is
amazing that you would sink three first-round draft picks into a position and you don't have a specific coach for that position, but you have a tight ends coach. And on that note, we'll take a break. I got numbers that matter when it comes to the Rockies and the Broncos. Details next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
By the way, on Twitter, I'm looking at Denver Broncos page. And, you know, I'll retweet it at D-Mac1043, but it shows the catch we've been talking about by Cortland Sutton over Isaac Yiadom. Look at that, Al. I mean, and I'll retweet it because it's hard to describe, but it's in the corner of the end zone.
That new phone?
Yeah, pretty cool, huh? 7 Plus.
Wow, it's man. Nice, huh? Looks good.
Yeah, so.
Even though they're on the 10.
Huh?
You have a 7 Plus.
Oh, I know,
and
I know.
They're on version 10.
No, you're right.
Or the X, should I say.
Even when I get ahead, I'm behind. But my point is, look at that. I mean, look at that reach. Look at that leaping ability. Look at the possibilities there. That is just awesome. Awesome. Really cool photo. I'll retweet it right now.
I love it when these teams who don't draft guys in the first round say, we had a first round grade on them.
Yeah.
Okay. Why didn't you draft them in the first?
Right. Let me give you a number that matters. It's a baseball quickly. As the Rockies and the Cardinals get going here relatively shortly. The Rockies were 39-42 halfway through the season through 81 games.
Minus three.
And we said in order to get to the playoffs.
86, 87.
Right. You had to get to that number. Right? So, what do you got to have for wins? You have to be 17 games over 500 from the midpoint on. And then we looked it up and we realized in the first half of the season, only four teams in Major League Baseball in the first half of the season were 17 games over 500 or better. So it's not impossible, but it's just difficult. The Rockies at this point in the second half of the season are 18-6. They are 12
games over.
12 games over, which means if they can get to 17 games over.
Last night would have been a big one.
If you can get to 17 games over.
And then go 50-50.
And then go 50-50. You're going to make the playoffs.
Now,
that is more or less what happened last year. They got to that number.
In the first half.
That's right. And then they went 500 the rest of the way. And we looked at their schedule and we said, maybe around this time or maybe even a little bit earlier, we were like, listen, if we can just go 500, we're going to make the playoffs. And they did. So I strongly feel the same thing. So now you don't have to get to 17 games over 500 from tonight on.
Right.
You have to get
five games. And then go 50-50.
And then go 50-50.
Last night, though, man.
So last night hurt. Because if
it's just a seventh inning. I didn't want to ask because I didn't want to sound too much like a novice, which I am when it comes to baseball. Since the seventh inning is so bad, why not just move Ottavino to the seventh?
Who's your setup guy in the eighth, then?
I don't know. Develop that guy. Fix the problem. Why not just fix the problem?
The main reason they wouldn't do that right now is because...
Is it unusual for a guy to go 7 and 8?
You would
do
yes.
it in the playoffs.
Highly unusual. It would stress. It would be so much work. It wouldn't be sustainable for as many games as they still have. You'd burn your guy out.
Why not just move him 7th and then...
Now, I'll tell you this. When we get to September, let's talk. You know, in a month...
How about now?
It's too much time. There's still so many games left to be played.
D-Mac, explain to me why you can't move Ottavino from your setup guy in the 8th to the 7th.
You'll just hurt his arm at this point if you were to do that.
What if he only just pitched the 7th and you had a new setup guy? Maybe one of the other guys can be a setup guy in the 8th.
So it's an interesting concept. I wouldn't be completely against it if you have no faith, but who's that guy going to be?
I don't know. Maybe it's new guy that we just got.
Maybe. But the problem is,
and now you're going to move him to the, well, you're going to try to move him to the seventh?
Well, probably, yeah.
Why not just move Ottavino to the seventh? Because it feels like as soon as he goes in, game over.
Well, but you have to get through the eighth as well.
I know, but then
and then occasionally Ottavino's, you know, you realize Ottavino sometimes is your closer.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, but you got Wade Davis for that.
Not every night. Not if you go back-to-back games sometimes.
You got three games in a row. You got options.
Listen,
I mean,
man,
we had Brian Shaw close a game not long ago, so, I mean, let's just get through the seventh, man. The seventh has been killing us. Let's just get through the seventh. Is that drastic? Is that a drastic thing that I'm saying?
It's contrary to just the way things are done. But if you're looking to shake things up and do things differently, I'm not opposed to.
You sent John Gray down to minor leagues.
Yeah.
So that's not shaking it up?
Shaking him up.
Well, then why not move the Ottavino to the seventh then?
Common sense. I mean, you know, the game is more important later than earlier. I don't know.
What, say that again now?
Common sense.
Meaning?
The game is more important later than earlier.
But if you have issues earlier, the game doesn't matter later.
Well, I mean, did you see what happened the other day with Sergio Romo, which was hysterical? They used him, and then they had another pitcher pitch to like one batter, and they put Romo back in. They stuck him out at third base.
Right, third base, yes.
So,
but it worked.
Oh, man, that would be so off the wall, but we're not quite there yet. Relax. We're good. We're good.
We're not good if our ERA in the seventh inning
is maybe we can get something out of this O guy.
7.5.
Oh. Maybe there's minor league guys, Al, that are developing nicely. Who knows? I see him, Brian Shaw or Jake McGee or Russin out there at this point does make you nervous, to say the least. I knew as soon as I saw McGee, I was like, this game's done.
We should have knew that anybody by the name of Brian Shaw was going to be awful for the sports community here in Denver.
Let's go to my man, Scott. Scott, you're on the fan. Hi, Scott.
What's up, Scott?
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
I love this time of year as a football fan because everybody is optimistic. Everybody has an if. And if this happens, we're going to win the conference. We're going to play for championships. And it doesn't work out sometimes, as you know. But I have a question about your optimism in the defense this year. After you look at Vaughn and Chris Harris, who else do we have you think would start for, say, Jacksonville, the Rams, the Ravens? Do we have anybody else?
Bradley Roby would be a starter for a lot of teams. Do you think Bradley Roby would start for a lot of teams?
He wouldn't start for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He would be maybe a nickel guy. He wouldn't start at corner.
Al gets hung up on the whole starting thing, so you may want to avoid that.
But in obvious pass situations, he would be on the field.
Yeah, and Roby's a guy. I mean,
you're talking for if you say who gets started for the Jacksonville Jaguars, that's a pretty stout defense there. Maybe Roby is in that mix, but.
Scott, are you looking to rain all over our parade? Is that what I'm sensing from you?
I know. I hate to be the pessimist, but
No, you love to be the pessimist. Probably bum out all of your friends at the bar.
They have two of the top five corners in all of the NFL. You understand that, right? They have a guy who was all pro and could have been defensive player of the year, Calais Campbell, for all the Denver rights out there, and Malik Jackson. And listen, they got a lot of good players. They got a lot of good players on that defense. A lot of good players.
Scott, does your cat have feline herpes? What?
I'm sorry. Say it again.
I'm sorry. Does your cat have feline herpes?
Yo. What?
I hope not. Wow.
It's a Debbie Downer reference from Saturday Night Live from 20 years ago. Scott, relax. It's okay, man. Look outside. Look outside, Scott. Look outside. Do you live in Cleveland? I said, do you live in Cleveland?
It is fantastic to be in Denver this time of year. You are right.
Thank you, my man. Appreciate
it. The comparison to the Jacksonville Jaguars, or to, for that matter, to the Los Angeles Rams, isn't fair to any defense right now because the star power that those two teams possess is amazing. But if you ask me, could a lot of these guys start for the Seattle Seahawks? I'll tell you, a whole bunch of them could. Could they start for the could a bunch of these guys start for the Kansas City Chiefs? A whole bunch of them could. Could a bunch of them start for the Raiders? Absolutely. Chargers? Yes, a lot of them. So, you know, I think when you talk about these elite teams with these, you know, high draft picks that have actually worked out for them, it's not the same argument, man. And so I hate to tell you that maybe Roby is the only guy, because those teams have done a good job of scouting and matching up. But the question is, on their offensive side, who from the Jacksonville Jaguars could start for the Denver Broncos?
It's the
maybe
drive.
Fournette, and that's it.
You take Fournette over Royce Freeman?
Yeah, I take Fournette over mostly every running back in the league.
It's the drive on the fan.
Covering training camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
It's the time of the season.
We're getting some texts about the Rockies, and I guess we didn't explain ourselves, so let me try again. They're like, oh, they're only 6 games over 500, not 12. That's not what we said. We said from the halfway point of the season, after 81 games, they were 39-42, okay? We said that 88 is a magic number. Now, it's not a guarantee, but it's a magic number if you want to make the playoffs. In order to get 88 wins with 39 wins, you'd have to get 49 wins. If you get 49 wins, you'd have 32 losses. You'd go 17 games over 500 to get to 88 wins. So right now in the second half of the season, and the All-Star break is not the second half of the season because the All-Star break happens after 81 games, but at the exact midpoint of the season, the Rockies are 18-6, 12 games over. So if they get to another 5 games over from the midway point of the season, essentially if they can do that and then go 500, they will get to 49-32. And 49-32 would be the magic number theoretically for them to make the playoffs. So they've done fantastic. And in this time period, they've gone from 8 games back at the 81st game of the season to 1 game back as of tonight. Terrific. So you can see where this will work if they keep going, and the mountain to overcome isn't that high anymore. You've got, from this moment on, if you were to start the season, you would need to finish 5 games over 500 from now till the end of the season to make the playoffs. Can you do that? Can you sustain that? That's what we were saying. I hope that makes sense to you. If not, then, you know, whatever.
Did you see the...
I got so many texts about how I hate kids and I don't want kids out of training camp. And that's not what I was saying.
Hey, did you see Denzel Washington is coaching over with the Arizona Cardinals? You know that? Denzel Washington is...
Is that somebody that just looks like Denzel Washington?
That's their head coach.
Okay.
Steve Wilkes.
Okay.
Steve Wilkes looks just like Denzel Washington.
I don't even know who Steve Wilkes is.
He's the guy that hired Mike McCoy.
Let's go to Brock. Brock, you're on the fan. Hi, Brock.
Guys.
You know, you almost got me. Hold on a second. You know, because you almost got me a little bit. Because didn't like, Denzel Washington's kid play football
Ballers.
At a pretty high level?
Yeah, he's the actor on Ballers, too.
Okay. All right. Yes, Brock, what's up?
Denzel would be a great head coach, probably.
he already was. He did it great in the movies.
Oh, that's right.
Remember the Titans?
I played for him.
Sure.
But, anyway, just called me from, I guess, Big Al earlier was talking about it. I mean, from what I'm thinking, Billy Turner, right?
Right.
He's pretty good at tackle.
He's great. I think he's the best offensive lineman we got. Leary's number one, and I think Billy Turner's two.
Yeah. So I guess maybe just given the idea of, like, protecting Case Keenum, would it not be better than, given that, if I'm not mistaken, Bowles has not played football very long. You know, he's a relatively late starter when it came to playing football. Is it, I guess, beyond us to maybe see if we can retrain him and his body style and maybe go to right guard?
No, that's not going to happen.
I'd love that. See, that's what I would do.
Thank you,
I would do anything it would take to get my best five on the field. Now, listen, man, left tackle is the premier position in all of pro football, period.
Can I make a gentleman's wager with you?
Go ahead.
Halfway through the season, your opinion on Veldier is going to be significantly different.
It wouldn't matter because I just told you the best tackle on the team is a guy who's not playing right now. So what do you need? What do you need to happen? I told you Billy Turner is the best tackle we have on the team.
We may find out. I look at Veldier and I have a hard time imagining him staying healthy for the whole season.
You know, I was looking at the the Patriots offensive line. You know who Marcus Cannon is?
Yeah, of course.
So Marcus Cannon was a fifth round draft pick in 2011. Now the year before, they had their old Scaramucci. The offensive line coach. He was terrible.
It's not Scaramucci, but it's like that.
It's something like that. I think it is. His son was a video coordinator.
Stevie Skarnecchia.
Yeah, Skarnecchia.
Josh McDaniels, yes.
Cannon was not that good. And as a matter of fact, remember that game that Tom Brady played here when the Broncos won Super Bowl 50? That was the most hits he ever took in a game. 1 year later, this dude is one of the best tackles in all of football. Good coaching and knowing what a player guy is just as important as the talent that the guy has.
Well, we do have 9 offensive line coaches, so maybe we're okay.
We
got 2.
I don't understand why we do anything that doesn't involve play the best player. Play the best player all the time. The players know who the best player is. Guarantee you, if you ask anybody tomorrow, what about this guy, Billy Turner? They go, oh, man, he can play. Oh, he can go. Yeah, he can play. Oh,
he's your guy.
Billy can go. He can play. I'm telling you, he's the best tackle we got right now. He would be the second best offensive line behind Larry if he was on.
I thought the offensive line wasn't an issue. Now you're hemming and hawing about
a million things with the offensive line today. It's not an issue, but I want them to do the right thing instead of always trying to make things fit, you know, circles fit into a square hole.
Well, we'll try to make that all fit tomorrow when we're back out there.
All right, man. Well, for D-Mac, for Big Sexy, and for, of course, Kyle Berry, I'm Big Al. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 on The Drop. Good night.